Okay, thank you very much for the introduction. And I thought it would be good to open the presentation today with a very brief discussion of pelvic inflammatory disease, or PID, for those who may not be as familiar with this syndrome. So pelvic inflammatory disease is essentially infection and inflammation of the female upper genital tract, which occurs as microbes ascend from the lower genital tract to the upper genital tract, infecting the uterine lining, resulting in what's termed endometritis, or fallopian tubes, termed salpingitis. And PID is a polymicrobial condition, and it's well established that chlamydia and gonorrhea cause pelvic inflammatory disease. But still, up to 70% of PID cases are non-gonococcal and non-chlamydial in origin. And to some degree, that etiology is not fully understood. And we're concerned with determining the full etiology of PID, as it may lead to infertility, chronic pelvic pain, and ectopic pregnancy. And it would be ideal that we could tailor screening and treatment based on the etiology. So first I'll be discussing Mycoplasma genitalium, which is an interesting bacteria that has the smallest genome of any known cellular organism. It is extremely difficult to culture, and it's only been with the advent of PCR that research has really progressed, particularly among women in the past several years. It was originally discovered as a cause of drug-resistant non-gonococcal urethritis in men in the 1980s. Evidence suggests that M. genitalium is sexually transmitted, due largely in part to high rates of concordance among sexual partners. It is a prevalent bacteria, and these rates that I have here are general population rates, and you can see that the prevalence ranges between that of gonorrhea and chlamydia. And in higher risk populations, women seeking care in STI clinics, those with pelvic inflammatory disease, rates are more in the range of about 20%. M. genitalium has been shown to induce salpingitis in animal models. And further in this slide, I show in vitro evidence showing that M. genitalium has the ability to adhere to sperm and therefore has a way to hitch a ride to the upper genital tract. M. genitalium has been associated with cervicitis in some studies, and thus it's feasible that it certainly could also cause pelvic inflammatory disease in humans. And the studies that I show here summarize the evidence which links M. genitalium with pelvic inflammatory disease. These studies are primarily cross-sectional in nature, but you can see that they're fairly consistent. In our study of women, with about 600 women with clinically suspected pelvic inflammatory disease, we showed that women who tested positive for M. genitalium were about 2.5 times as likely to have histologically confirmed endometritis, and this was independent of gonorrhea and chlamydia. And further in this study, we also showed that women were 13 times as likely to develop endometritis within the 30-day period following treatment with suboxone and doxycycline. Next, I'm going to shift gears and move to a discussion of bacterial vaginosis and its role in pelvic inflammatory disease. Bacterial vaginosis, or BV, is very common, ranging up to, with prevalence ranging up to about 36%. It is characterized by a malodorous vaginal discharge, although many women are asymptomatic. It is characterized microbiologically as having a shift from a lactobacilli-predominant vaginal flora to one with very high concentrations of aerobic and anaerobic pathogens. And I've listed just some of the bacteria here which have been associated in culture studies among women with bacterial vaginosis. We and others have shown that BV, determined by Gram stain, is associated with endometritis. And in our study that I reference here, we found that association to be independent of gonorrhea and chlamydia. More recently, cultivation-independent techniques have been used to identify a broader range of bacteria associated with bacterial vaginosis. And certainly this slide has a lot of bacteria on it, and I just wanted to put it here today to highlight certainly the diversity of bacteria associated with BV, and also that a number of these pathogens, including bacterial vaginosis 1, BVAB 1, 2, and 3, which are listed on the top, have been previously uncultivated. So for many of these bacteria, we now have the ability to look at them using cultivation-independent techniques and look at their association with PID. And the importance of this is that it is possible, if not likely, that some of these bacteria are pathogenic, whereas others may not be. Okay. Some case studies using broad range PCR have identified Leptotrichia and Atopobium species, two of the anaerobic bacteria that I had listed on the prior slide, with PID and its adverse outcomes. Yet, despite these intriguing findings, there has been little epidemiologic study of the role of these bacteria in pelvic inflammatory disease or its sequelae. There has been a broad spectrum PCR study which identified bacterial 16S sequences, including those for Leptotrichial and Atopobium species, in fallopian tube specimens collected from 25% of salpingitis cases and no controls that were undergoing tubal ligation, so providing some evidence that these bacteria may play a role in pelvic inflammatory disease. In a study we recently completed looking at a handful of four of these more newly recognized bacteria, we used targeted PCR and identified a relationship between these bacteria and endometritis. Specifically, women who tested positive for all four of these selected bacteria, which included Leptotrichial species, Atopobium, and BVAB1, were 2.5 times as likely to have histologically confirmed endometritis as compared to women who tested negative. Further, women who tested positive for several of those of these BV bacteria, as well as chlamydia and gonorrhea, had a 3.5-fold likelihood of having endometritis, suggesting that there may be a significant interaction between these bacteria. In a separate pilot study that we conducted, which was nested within a prospective study of incident PID, we found that women who tested positive for Atopobium vaginae, as well as Leptotrichia species and Agrothela-like bacteria, were significantly more likely to develop pelvic inflammatory disease within 3 months of testing positive, showing a causal relationship between these bacteria and pelvic inflammatory disease. And this was significant after adjusting for other STIs. This study also utilized quantitative PCR, and we found that women who had higher gene copies of Atopobium vaginae, as well as Megaspira phyllotypes 1 and 2, had a significantly increased risk of developing pelvic inflammatory disease. This suggests that it may not just be the presence, but the quantity and the bacterial load that increases the risk for PID. And again, we're interested in looking at this full etiology so that we can tailor treatment for pelvic inflammatory disease. So of note, Mycoplasmal genitalium, we know, is resistant to tetracycline. It also lacks a cell wall and is resistant to sulfoxetine. For the BV-associated bacteria, you can see that the inclusion of metronidazole for the treatment of BV is considered optional in the outpatient regimens for pelvic inflammatory disease. Thank you. Even if it is used, we know that some species, such as Atopobium, are metronidazole resistant, and due to the fastidious nature of these bacteria, we don't really know the full resistance for some of the other BV-associated bacteria. So, as we would expect, among our study of pelvic inflammatory disease, in which women were treated with sulfoxetine and doxycycline, M. genitalium frequently persisted post-treatment. Also, M. genitalium was associated with short-term treatment failure, which we defined as continued endometritis post-treatment. And there is evidence showing that M. genitalium does cause damage to ciliated cells in human fallopian tube organ models. And there is also serologic evidence showing that tubal factor infertility patients have higher rates of M. genitalium antibodies as compared to patients with normal tubes. So we suspect that it can go on to cause long-term damage. In our pilot, we conducted a pilot study of 50 women treated for clinically suspected PID, and we found that those who tested positive for M. genitalium antibodies were significantly more likely to be categorized as infertile. That's the typing, I think, is a little small there, but four times as likely to be categorized as infertile, 80% less likely to experience pregnancy, or 90% less likely to have a live birth over a 5 to 8 year follow-up period, again suggesting that M. genitalium may cause long-term morbidity. Again, this was pilot data, so the sample sizes were small. Similarly, we found that women in a study of pelvic inflammatory disease that were treated with sulfoxetine and doxycycline, they were significantly more likely, if they tested positive for all four of the bacteria that I mentioned prior, were more likely to have continued endometritis post-treatment for pelvic inflammatory disease. We also found that these women were significantly more likely, almost four times as likely, to experience infertility over follow-up. So thank you very much. It looks like I hit right on the mark.